Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about podcasts while driving. I'm going to cover basically 3D web pages and the story behind it. So a little bit of context. I'm having to rehabilitate, come out from under a rock, so to speak, and rebuild myself basically in terms of speaking and addressing points, keeping on topic and stuff like that, from stroke rehabilitation. Now, what ideally would happen is that particularly a group which is all about realizing potential or lifting people up, education, they would look after people and you would get sort of the basic rehabilitation support. Oops, I'm just getting misty here. But it's not. That's the case, it's not. And there's sort of a number of reasons. I'm just switching this off. It's very cold up here. Yeah, so they're just not doing it. And it's sort of like you're there and the pizza guy isn't going to come. And at a certain point, you've got to realize that and get yourself your own pizza. So in this case, I'm getting my own pizza, or my own food together out of the fridge, scraps out of the fridge, and you're unfortunately listening to it. Now, you're also listening to it as I'm driving home from in the morning from high up in the Blue Mountains. It feels relatively high because I'm high up in the clouds. It's only 800 or 1,000 kilometre up, which is quite high for Australia. I think the highest point in Australia is 2 kilometres and 200 metres at Mount Kosciuszko. So it's sort of half as high you could possibly be in probably the world's flattest continent. So there's no big mountain ranges here. And it's misty and it's, your windscreen tends to fog up. So talking into it, it's pretty important to sort of say, look, it's just not I'm slowing down through here because it's fairly thick fog. It's not just one group abandoning you. It's everyone. Everything's a huge effort. And you've got to try and work out what to do when it's not going your way. You know, things aren't going your way. And one of them is... Sorry, just looking at this coming across. It's quite difficult here because it's so misty. Yeah, so it's not just one thing. It's multiple things not going your way. And it's sort of like... If your car is completely broken, it's neglected, and you've got to get up and running again, and the wheels are flat, the timing belt's gone for it. You know, the old cars used to have a timing belt, the battery's shot, and come on, Lord. You've got all these things to look at. So you've got to fix one thing at a time, and people are saying, is the car running yet? No, I'm just testing the headlight system. And so this is, in a real sense, the process forward of getting a set of projects up to rehabilitate into. These are specific projects, and you can sort of measure them. You can measure your progress in it and measure your project against other projects. So, like, if they're not growing your project and then also not growing a whole series of other things, you know that that's the problem's over there, not with you. You can sort of focus on it. That being said, it means that when you come up against something, you just can't just achieve something. You've just got to go a little bit beyond to A, test yourself, B, put yourself in a position which is differentiated. Now, the entire thing is that if you're being abandoned, being differentiated is the last thing people we'll respond to. That's sort of like being naughty. Like we abandon you, we want you to sort of just lie quietly in your grave and decompose. We want you to do it however you're out sort of trying to be a bit alive. So that being said, where this system have gone. Sort of as I've worked on these projects, I've said, oh, look, I'll need a web page. And sort of one of the stranger things is that as your head comes back, you know, the information's locked in there, but it's not necessarily fluently available. If someone asked you to sit down and said, how do you do a web page? You'd be struggling, but you can actually do it yourself. And so I'll go through on building up a web page how I've done it. It's sort of the really basic, scummy way of doing it, and people will look down their noses on it, and then looking at what, you know, what you need for it to stick out. And for me, to understand it's a mobile phone device, and that you want some sort of subtle form of three-dimensionality. That is, when you pick up your phone and look into it, it looks, you know, hang on, it catches the eye, it's a bit three-dimensional. And then you've got certain angles that you're going to take. You can't achieve the professional silkiness, so you're going to be a bit flash in going across here. Let's go across this, do something new. So as always, this is my break, because I've got, you get up really early in the morning to get your son to work, who's starting work at 7:45. And so that just means it's you add that all back, you get up quite early. So I'll be back in a short while. Okay, back again after the break. And there is an advantage of keeping your podcast going, because you can see this time I've only got 6 minutes as opposed to 7 minutes podcasting, which means that I must be a minute faster getting to this location. Let's see how it goes. Now, the story is that you're out there, you're really against all odds. It's one man against the world, deciding to, to rebuild the whole planet. I'm down, I'm out, I'm going to rebuild the whole planet. I'm going to get new projects together, do what's normally considered impossible, and just do it day in, day out. And one of them is to go forward, is to set up what's known as the Glenbrook Institute, the Glenbrook's Advanced Concept Institute. And for that, now just check what you're doing, mate. Okay, right. So I just have to talk my way through this roundabout here. So there's the Glenbrook Institute, the website for it, and I'm building the website, and there is no, I've built a website, oh, you're so good, here, have some money for it, or all that stuff, because there's no financial transactions with it, there's no goodwill, and so you're out there, and you're building a website. And first off, I'm going to tell you about how you add Parallax to make a 3D website. Now, why do you want to make a 3D website? Well, the websites are visible on your mobile phone, and that's unfortunately when you write to people, they firstly say, and it says sent from my iPhone, and you realise that they've seen the very first aspect of it, and there is this thing, if there's a curiosity, they will tend to scroll down and just scroll through it if there's any interest. So the first thing you do is that you realise that, when I took up this website, the old structure of the click through is gone, and now your website is just a continuously long scroll page. So that's a major thing, and that's for free. So just got it up to speed here. Click 80 kilometers now. Okay, spot on. Sorry, there's just a huge, massive truck I'm I'm out driving. Okay. So the thing is that your web pages are now continuously scrolled down. The next thing is that you can write complete code, or you can reference basically a code library or routine, and that's called a cascading style sheet. And so it's in several chunks. You can actually have it on your in your website up into the style section. So it's left parrot, right parrot, style, then styles, and then close. These are just instructions, and then it's sort of like an absolute dog's breakfast. This whole palaver is a dog's breakfast. So there's style sheets, and the style sheets can do certain instructions or add quite complex instructions to your fundamental thing. So if you can say a line, so if you want a fresh line, it's P / P, and you hold it within that, and that's a separate line feed and white space. So there's certain things that do and don't happen. Because it's a markup language, it is now insensitive to spacings and stuff like that. So you have to add that to it. And so you can add this style sheet. And you also, and this is relevant, you can also, if you want to do a logical thing, that if it's this, then that, or if this has happened, then that. If you want to get into web programming, you need to use JavaScript. Now, JavaScript is really nothing. It's something, it's browser operated code, which is not assembled. Oh, so your code, you normally have to, here we go, 40 kilometers an hour. You normally have to, if you write code, so this is, code has to be assembled. So there's English language code, which is long code, and computers can't read that. They've got to convert that into machine language or assembly language. There's two levels of it. Now, this is well lost. This understanding has lost. However, I do have a unique understanding because my father was Australia's first computer program, and I learnt computer programming as a bub, probably 8 years old as first computer program, which is, for someone who's in their 50s, programming when they're 8 and been trained by the world, well, yeah, he was Australia's first computer science lecturer. Okay, that being said, now, there is a sort of weird combination. There's this knowledge of quantum mechanics, knowledge of computing, and then sort of strategic training in Army, MBA, where you look at the general scene and say, what's the deal here? And in that sort of large level training is, what's the deal? It's your web pages are now one big scrolling thing. Now, there's no article telling you this. In fact, this is pretty much the sign of the age. We've got this new technology, yet you have yet to simplify it. That is, yet to standardize it. So, if you would like, we're sort of a Tower of Babel. Everyone's talking to each other, but there's no grammar. Now, this is in circuitry, in the way things are explained. There is no grammar. Like, I'm just building circuits for the first time. Yeah, sure, the modules are there, but the actual discipline of how you put out a circuit diagram, how you design a circuit, the colours that you use for each wire, it's just not there. Everyone is just so gleefully, it's sort of like everyone suddenly learned to speak and everyone's got their own language for it. So, you've got these components coming together. However, you throw into that this brain thing, and I've got, there's not big black, they're not it's not gone, it's just misty. So there's things in the mist there, and you, it's sort of like there's no, I'm Lord Nelson, I'm going to do this to the enemy. It's, when I'm saying that, there's no, sort of, I've got no, I'm sort of a bit reactive to, just, not reactive, but contemplative. Like when you do have a block, you know, things aren't going your way, you contemplate them. And in this case, so in that overall scenario, I've come up to making a web page, and automatically there, when you pick a template up, you say, what is this? What's this, what do these numbers here mean? So for one, for instance, is that unbeknown, like there's no logic for this, it is decided that the web page will be divided. Now this is true. There's nothing to it. The web pages will be divided into 12 columns. And when you have got sort of a floating table, this is a sort of column and table stuff, and you can select that your thing that you're going to use will either use 2, 3, 6 columns. You wouldn't want to use 5 columns, or so you can see 12. Oh God, how are we going for this? We've got this massive truck going across, and it's just giving me the shits. Okay. Well, the thing is that we're going up a hill, and it slowed right down. Then at the point I was going to overtake it, it went downhill, and it's going like the clappers. Okay. So it's scrolling, but also you've got this. It's scrolling, and the page is divided up into 12 columns. No, I kid you not. And the columns are numbered 1 or 0 to 11 or 1 to 12. But you don't number them. You just say, my item, I want to take up 4 columns in a big screen. And, so 2 columns in a big screen. Okay, you got a big wide screen, you can have all columns. But in a thin screen, I want to take up 6 columns. Therefore, only 2 items to be displayed. It's sort of, you can sort of get your mind into it. But then this is in just a little number called in W3 Bulgler class. In the style sheet. So it's all sort of like, it's all almost gynecological. It's all the way up there. And then, looking at it, you're saying, what you need here to make it stand up is not in-your-face, destructive, sort of, you know, this is all the way through. You don't want something, you want it to be different, but you don't want it to be different, distracting. So there's that thing that you're aiming for. You're aiming for that fine-tuning between distracting and different. And why would you do it? Well, it's because you can always pull back. It's hard to move from a boring to a not so boring, because the world of boring is a huge scale. So the idea is that you produce a 3D one, and it looks 3D on your handheld phone, because as you move your phone left and right, the accelerometer detects gravity and moves your it looks as though you can actually look inside this. It looks 3D. And this is no special electronics, this is just software. And this process is called parallax. So you just Google the word parallax. Now, in order to get going, you have to start to add a few extra stuff. So initially, I just got... Well, this is actually only... this is all yesterday. I can't believe that. Now, it's hard to say. No matter what you produce, it is just thrown away instantly. However, so since yesterday, I've gone up to looking at parallax. And now what happens is that someone writes up parallax, and if they've got some code to share, or they want to write up the code, they will put it in something called GitHub. And GitHub, you'll be able to download the whole Rock Show package. And that is the CSS library, the JavaScript. So you've got a CSS library, which is just a whole set of formatting, and JavaScript is when computer does calculations. So it says, so your CSS library is not going to access your mobile phone's accelerometer. Your JavaScript library is. And well, your JavaScript library is a Java code, and it's just got to be in your directory. So when your web page calls for it, it's there. Now, this, explaining how to do this is just insanely complex. Now, I used to do it, but what I do now is just take the example, right? Take the whole example, right, like that, and then copy the whole lot, the whole folder and everything into your website, and just run the example from your website, and then slowly move the functionality of example into your web page. So it's sort of like at sea, resupplying at sea, where the two ships come next to each other and you just ferry across the functionality. And then once you've done that, you start cutting away, if you're concerned about it, you start cutting away the functionality. But what in general happens is that you realize, oh, I need to do something else, or how does that work, and stuff like that. And so so what you have to do is now, oh God, this is just insane watching it. This is Hazelbrook in the Blue Mountains, and that car, that truck is just, you know, it's all, the employer will be really happy. I will have, if I was a truck driver, I'd be very safe, but put everyone out of business. I'll get my load from point A to point B, but I will, in the process, destroyed my company and destroyed the entire economy by traveling so incredibly slowly. Okay, so we got to the sort of the general point is that you're on your own. Well, I'm on my own, and I'm building a web page. And just in an environment of not getting any positive feedback, that you can sort of say, oh, I want to get positive. They're just not going to give it to you, because you look at the whole society, there's just whole suburbs, whole people, whole cultures, whole countries, that whole concept groups like climate change, they get neglected. And now you're going to say, well, I'm going to pull my little case and put it up the top, and there's not the infrastructure there to actually care. So the point is that you can sort of worry about this and put resources into it, or you can just dust yourself up, dust yourself off, and get going. Now, in this case, it's building the web page and sort of understanding the mobile phone structure. Now, that's taking a few days to go in and say, oh, well, that's what you want for it. You want a web page like this structure, and you want this like this. And to see mobile phone icons, right, whatever they are. You have your own mobile phone icon. It may be brilliant, but no one's going to know it. There is a series of universally accepted icons, and they're called FAFA, F-A-F-A, whatever that means, icons. I don't know what it is, and you call it, you can't download the icon and store it. It's now in a cascading style sheet, referenced off to the FAFA people, whatever it is. Just insane. And so, given this, where do you deploy yourself? And to say, look, I'm not there completely successfully myself. So what happens is that you have a series of images, and the images are given different depths, or they're given two different types of depths. There's the stacking depths, you know, the ways in which they're printed on the phone, or on your page. So it's called a Z index. And so for any, so there's a, two boxes, I can't describe the number of boxes. So the fundamental sort of cut and paste square in a web page is called a div or a container. A container is slightly different from a div. A div is a division. And so that division will have properties, it'll have margins, borders, also have physical layering depth. So if you have a div 20, that will be printed last and appear first. So if you say div 20 fail, you can just plop the word fail on any web page, which is okay. Now on top of that is another index, which I can't remember, which says its actual physical parallax distance. And now for that, you need the style sheet for parallax, and you need the Java code for parallax, which is just putting it into your stuff, and then you need to identify the div section with the depth of it, and where zero is right up against the screen, and then one or two is right down, so the accelerometer will swing it. So what happens is you tilt the phone, the actual text will move and it will look three-dimensional, and you tip it up and down, and it's amazing to see it. I find it sort of insane, and it suddenly got there. And you don't want to make this is a feature and distract it. It is what did I say before? I can remember. You want to make it distinguished, distinct, but not distracting. And so, after all this effort, I've only put with zero. I've put it at 0.1 and 0.15, these two things, and you move, and you can just see, hang on, that's a little bit. Suddenly, your eye will pick up things, and your brain will automatically cancel out it and bring things on, and essentially, no cognitive stuff. And in cognitive theory, two web pages, this is this complex triad of things. This is your cognitive theory about, you know, what actually registers. So certain colours register. And now what you think is great is counter to what you want. So the web page animation is something which absolutely distracts, and music distracts people. They hate it. But something very subtle. And then also colours. If you use really heavy primary colours, there's this immediately people lose interest in it really quickly, even though the cognitive science says primary colours are great. You know, if you're doing something for a baby, it's okay. Then the similar thing goes for now, this is not for the 3D stuff. 3D stuff, you want full colour saturation, so that it's hard for people to you got another way of pulling the information out. Now, the interesting thing is that, say, I'm doing the portraits of various people who are members of this, directors of this Glenbrook Institute. Now, what I'm doing for that is that I'm putting in a understated background for the individual people, depending on, you know, what I feel. So there's, for myself, I put myself with my sunglasses, just there, but I put an aircraft, the deck of an aircraft carrier with a jet at the back, and the interesting, and then what I've done is I've matched the hue of my face. So one of the things that really stand out is A, the cutting, you know, how you cut out your background, and B, oh, it's not cutting out the background, and B, it's the, if you've got a different hue and lighting setting, so your background's got to do it, and then your background then has to go down another level. So when you look at it, it looks like a really, it's not like your classic fresh American, I'll show my customer and they'll be, oh wow, what a fantastic color, glossy. It's not your glossy Polaroid photograph. It's sort of a washed out magazine, which in the back of a story. And the reason is that, you want to actually cognitively dip down the person so they blend in, and their eye then moves off to start picking up other things. So see, the thing is that your customer, your person at the end, has is involuntary. It's one thing, they can be as smart as they want, but that you can actually get it to them involuntarily. So by making it a 3D page, which is fairly simple. Now, I should explain the process, the horrible web page, the HTML5 agony I went to. So I went off from my internet host. They provide a HTML compiler, which, besides being awful, losing a format, it actually goes in and cuts your HTML code up. It eliminates bits, it adds bits in. It's sort of like it's insane. And you don't know it until you actually run it a few times. That if you've got Dreamweaver or something like that, it's really good, because what happens is that you can the code is really cleaned up, it's got cleaning processes, and it's got WYSIWYG. And if an image is in the wrong place, you can just click and drag it and reshape it, and of course the code's been redoing. Now, of course, I don't have the money for Dreamweaver, and so what I do is actually I publish the pages in Notepad. I've gone back to Notepad, which is the most frustrating thing possible. So there's no colouring, but at least it conserves the format of it, and you can search it, and then I've got to actually get the web page up simply, and get the assets up simply, and also import whole folders. Here's the example. Here's the GitHub example of how Parallax works. So you just pick up the whole, unzip it, put it down, unzip it, and pick up the whole lot and dump it across. And now to the dump it across thing, I'm just slowly wending my way back down the mountain here. It's another 40 kilometers an hour section. The cars, it's pretty amazing. It's not half, there's one time when I said, I was driving for an appointment and we're a bit late, and I said, look, this is, traffic's not here, but this is traveling at funerary pace. You know, it's as if there was a hearse up ahead. And of course, there was a hearse. There was a funeral. There happened to be a graveyard off to the side, and the funeral was proceeding. It was going very, very slow. Okay, so, you want to dump this across, given that you don't have access to Dreamweaver or anything like that. And, it's just insane, unfortunately. It means that once your page gets up a certain size, it's a little bit of a nightmare to get across. But you need to actually have FTP your a file transfer protocol program. That is a little program, and it has just your folder there, and you can basically drag and drop into that folder, and then it will upload instantly. It will do all the uploading appear on the internet. So rather than with Dreamweaver, where it sort of simulates it, and then I suppose it would upload if you said upload and stuff like that. So I had to go back, and I sort of was aware that I had set up FTP accounts, but I had completely forgotten where. You know, I looked at the page, nothing really struck me. I was, God, you bastard. Sorry, hope you were doing okay. Thanks, mate. It's like, I'm going to try and not kill you. Come on, get across. So there's a bike and a car parked, and he had to pull out in his nice way. It's pretty dangerous doing that. Okay, so you've got to set up an FTP account, which is essentially go in and your account number is such a user at the website name, the general website name, and you've got to give a username and password to link it across, and then you've got to inform your FTP of this engine. Now the agony for me is that I've got the same FTP program doing several things. So it's sitting there minding its own business, ready for podcasting. So I've got to make sure that I remember to set it back for podcasting. So this is so it's one step forward and two steps forward and one step back. For me, it's always one step forward and two steps back. And so you do have this 3D effect. Now, the thing that I cannot budge or break is the scaling. Jesus Christ, what the heck are you doing? I don't know what. Oh, okay. So you can hear a big bloody air brake behind me, and I just hope this truck can stop. The thing I haven't been able to break is the scaling. And do you realise we're at Springwood at the moment? Here we go, this truck which should slow down. It's a double articulated truck. It's not like the in the outback of Australia you get these road trains which are quite literally up to four truck lengths all hooked up to each other, and it's a massive truck. Now just see what you're going here, mate. Okay, that's the actual website is called glenbrookinstitute.org, and so in order to do it, I've got all this black box where I can't actually remember. If you sat me down now and said, how do you do it? I'd say, forgotten. Sorry, mate. It's just gone. But actually sitting there and actually sitting in front of the computer and stuff like that, your mouse sort of automatically goes to a certain page or whatever it is. Or Christ. And so you can automatically get it. So you'll be able to see this staff. And now, and so if you go to Glenbrook Institute, one word, .org, it'll take you to this little website. And then it'll take you, you can scroll down. There's sort of things that I've left there. There's things that I've left, and it's the fundamental template is a modern template. So it's unlike, I would hate to think what Wix does. Wix is just how does anyone make money out of Wix? You know, it just, oh, Like it's, it would appear easy, but say if you got me, that's web-based, and my computer sometimes slows right down. I will have, say, a megabyte podcast, and it will take a full half day because it's just someone, it's cob cable, and someone's just dug something up, or it's rained at the exchange center. And so if you've got Wix, and it's going back and forth, it's insane. And you also, Wix doesn't do the, Wix is sort of just very low level asking you, are you interested in this? Are you interested in that? It doesn't do the more strategic thing of saying, okay, it's a general idea web page, and it's got to be able to be seen on small devices. It might, but you almost need a web page where a web thing where it browses across and you can see it on a small device. And you've got my God, Father, this truck's picked up speed. I'm going at the speed limit. I've got a car behind me, but then it's making a huge amount of noise. Noise coming down. So you'll be able to see it, and you'll be able to pick up certain things. What freaked me out is that what is really intensely interesting is that I now have this backbone to show people, and people don't respond, and that's intensely interesting. People not responding to it, because it's if it's people not responding to your garbled conversation, you can't tell. But if they're not responding to a fundamental structure of ideas, you can tell there's a lot more to it. But that being said, I was just having a chat with a student. I met a student in a pub. This is not a student from 10 years ago in a pub. Then said hi to him. I knew that someone on Facebook would know him. So I'd never talked to anyone on Facebook, partly because it's just a bit insane. I haven't understood Facebook yet. But nonetheless, I had a quick chat, and then I put this website there, and Facebook picked up the key symbol for it, which is one thing, which is, you know, quite reasonable. And it also picked up a summary word from the solution. I don't know how it did it. It picked up the most potent, poignant thing. It says, we're not connecting with our audience, and this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, it was just, I couldn't summarize it better myself, and it was just insane. So it could be random. And you can see the sort of the artificial intelligence going in here. So look, I think I'm going up the right track. And in general, there's negative viewpoint, and I definitely know there's all these slight problems coming across. One is that I have this there are all these different things coming up. I'm not getting, even if I did, I was trying to think, in terms of physics thing, I've got my feedback is completely negative all the time. I'm not complaining about it, it's completely negative all the time. So you've got to be aware that your probe, your feedback is not performing the function of feedback. So strategically, how do you go? Do you go down the middle of the road and try and just, I suppose the thing I do is do look up advice and stuff like that, and then I say, well, no, this really is advice to someone who really doesn't know anything of what to do. Now, what are you doing here, mate? come on, bus. There's a bus. Oh, crap. There's a bus pulling out. There's advice for people who don't know what they're doing, and they're just random advice. Like, if you really don't know what you're doing, and you just ask for random advice, you're going to walk off in a random direction. I'm sort of in the process of building, and I'll get there. And what's really interesting is that the negative feedback will become more precise, more changed. I think it's always negative feedback, but you can actually hear the quality of it. Now, it's, what I was going to say was, the Japanese used to, and everyone, where, so when you probe a thought, a defended position, and you probe it, right, and it, the entire thing gets, there's machine guns, rockets go off, you tap it and it goes, bang!